Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. Jessie Katz here. I am out in LA this week with the rest of my Billboard team. We're here for Billboard's annual Women in Music event, which I have to say is my favorite of all of the events that Billboard does because it spotlights women. So that comes as no surprise to anybody that I'm a big fan. And we get a lot of amazing talent, some of the biggest names in the music industry, to come out and celebrate each other for this one. So make sure you guys check it out. It's going to be broadcast live on Twitter for the first time this Thursday, November 30th. We'll be out on the red carpet, bringing you interviews with a lot of these amazing women and men who are there to support them. And it'll be a good time. So check us out, guys. You know what I'm also proud of is the two women who are on the show today, Gracie and Rachel. They recently wrote a blistering essay about misogyny in the music industry and how quote-unquote convenient thinking can get us into trouble when we make assumptions about women without really thinking them through. And they taught me about some stuff I haven't really thought of or gave me a different way of looking at this issue that I really appreciated. So it's a great chat. They have a self-titled debut album that came out earlier this year, and they were just on tour with friends of this show, San Fermin. So they're awesome. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. And in light of Women in Music Week at Billboard, this is really perfect timing. So without further ado, here is me and Dara talking to Gracie and Rachel on Soul Sisters. Gracie and Rachel on Soul Sisters, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Will you introduce yourselves so that people who are just listening know your voices?
Yeah. So I'm Gracie.
And I'm Rachel.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
And I'm Jessie.
So first question I have for you guys is, what was it like playing at Babe Fest?
Babe Fest, it was horrible. No,
It was a nightmare.
Yeah, no,
too many women,
too much free individual thinking. It was just empowerment. It was horrible.
Is this a new festival? Do you know
it's,
it?
It's second, yeah, installation. And she did the first one last year in Buffalo, up at her like old Babe Fest kind of headquarters spot, Righteous Babe. Uh-huh. And now she's doing them. I guess it's a traveling thing. She's planning to do different every year. But yeah, cool. she's.
But this one was in Provincetown.
This was in Provincetown, which
this
was also
very just, on the money.
Yeah, uh-huh. So on the money. It was really amazing. Yeah.
At the beginning of Women's Week.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it was the initiation.
So the church was so all funny. Like cast in these big, beautiful pink lights, and
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was to share a stage with her and share the evening with her was just so unreal. Mm-hmm. And she just brought so many great women together, and
yeah,
we got to perform, you know, a little set.
Did she book that
night
festival?
Yeah, I mean, it's her
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
So this is a Lilith sort of resurrection in a way.
Babe Fest?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Lilith Fair. Were you guys,
oh yeah,
you know, fans of that whole scene? And we've had a lot of guests who were part of it, and we've been saying, like, why don't they do it again? And what's happening with that? And it sounds like this is at least some type of iteration of that.
Yeah. And I think, it's building on itself. And, you know, mm-hmm. she's putting out, you know, the new record and kind of getting out there with this new, you know, like doing stuff with people like Bon Iver and, you know, other mm-hmm. different kinds of artists that I think are really interesting. And like poets, like she had,
yeah,
you know,
she brought a comedian Ray Sani.
We were the only other musical act besides her. So that was, it was interesting. I mean, there were only four acts, but then there were speakers as well. And mm-hmm. with Emily's List and some other activist communities.
Yeah.
that they were doing like panels during the day.
Cool. This is a full, thorough, feminist evening. You know, covered all really the bases.
Cool. How did they find you guys? Do you know?
Well, we're in the same family as Ani because our managers are all the same. So we've hung with her a little bit and kind of, but this was our first time getting to perform for her, so that was really nerve-wracking. And she was in the wings the whole time, so we were like, she likes it, but it was a really great thing,
super positive experience.
That's awesome.
Hoping to join forces again soon.
So you guys are known as being kind of like political feminist artists.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'd say like less overt than Ani. You know, like we're not like,
well, she's been working at it a little longer.
She's been at it a little longer. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of the kind of the duality of what we're doing as women kind of coming together. We use kind of the black and the white and the duality to hopefully kind of express some of the struggles that, you know, we all deal with as humans.
Mental
kind of awareness of anxiety and that kind of stuff is definitely in our music and kind of standing up and hopefully
self-empowerment.
And
dope. So let's talk about this piece that you guys wrote in September for Under the Radar. Because there's so much to unpack there, and it's like all these topics that we are always either circling with our guests or like getting down to, but like trying to figure out how to articulate the problems and possible solutions. And I feel like you guys just wrote it so succinctly in this one piece. So the piece was called Soundtracking the, or this is what they titled it, Soundtracking the Resistance, Gracie and Rachel on Music Industry Misogyny and Mansplaining. And so I want to ask you guys about a few parts of it, if I may. The first one is you kind of call out this dangerous habit of convenient thinking. And I was wondering if you guys could like talk a bit about what you meant by that.
Yeah. I mean, I think convenient thinking is a big part of like we're kind of talking about like the history of this, just that like it's easy to kind of just make excuses for our a lot of behaviors and beyond just, you know, the male female kind of dichotomy. But that like we've gotten used to it with our collaborators and people that we witness every night on stage and interacting with, you know, sound engineers or people on the road that kind of conveniently just don't presume that we kind of can be the women in control.
Or what they've heard is what they expect to hear again. Or what they read is what they, you know, expect to just see in front of them.
You mean from you or from different bands?
From us and other bands as well, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's just like a convenient way of mixing us that is catered to what they're used to.
Well, yeah, and like even just as simple as like Rachel, you know, Rachel's a front violinist and she's a front woman, and that's not as common, which is totally understandable to see her. I mean, she's got a minimal vocal role, so maybe people don't assume that she's a front woman because she's not singing as much, but she's the front. We really always say like we're equal, as she's a violinist that she sings with her violin, and that's really important to us, and that's her voice, and that's her, that's, you know, a shared dual thing, even though I'm the one singing most of it of the time. And we've really stressed that so many times, and then time after time we get her put down in the mix like this, and we just have to kind of like undo that thinking, which is hard. And then there's things like, you know, our name isn't put on the marquee because our male counterpart, you know, is, I don't know why, but
or they're assumed that they're we're supporting them,
when we're co-headlining, which is, you know, a tour we just went on, we had that happen at most venues, and that was really hard to just have to fight. You know, you want to get there and just play your music, and you end up being a nag and being kind of a, you know, downer. And that's just not a great way to start off any evening or any relationship with anybody. Yeah. So we're just trying to undo some of those patterns and figure out ways to do them without hopefully, you know, coming off as critical, but just like celebratory of like what we're doing. And we kind of just have to prove our point by playing music and just showing them that we're going to hopefully kick some ass. And that's that's how we do it. But it's frustrating that we have to, you know, it takes that.
And you have to go through a little inconvenience to try and get over that way of thinking.
I like that way of describing it, because, you know, often the reaction people have when you confront this kind of thinking is like, it's not that all men are misogynist or like I don't hate women. It's like, it's not necessarily that conscious. It's just we need to like ask each other to think harder.
And we fall into it too, where we're apologetic in ways where we're like, wait, why are we apologizing for asking for this? You know, we fall into
something
that convenient pattern, and yeah, exactly. It's not that there's these horrible guys out, you know, to get us. It's just that there's a way of, you know, what we've all been trained to kind of
exactly think. Like a lot of people don't realize what they've been raised with and instilled with, and so it's just like trying to force some perspective on your own behavior and the way that you relate to artists.
Totally. Yeah.
Have you found a way of handling these situations that you employ like time and time again when you know, okay, this sound guy is not going to hear us?
Yeah.
And how do you handle that? Because the worst thing you can do is give an attitude back because they like hold your fate in their hands and
it's
you don't
like,
want to
it's like
upset
the kill
them.
With kindness thing, but at the same time you don't want to kill with too much kindness because it's then you become like a pushover in their eyes. So but yeah, the attitude thing does not work.
Right.
But
I think we keep our cool pretty well.
Yeah, we keep our cool, but we're like, you know, low key fuming.
Eye contact. Yeah. That's like really
I'd
crucial.
Say that's very scary
the
for a lot
hardest
of men.
Part,
yeah, I know. That's why it can work.
Yeah.
I don't think we
figured
out. A
nerve looking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we have the perfect way. It's always give and take. That's why we're trying.
Because you try to preempt. You try to like totally. Come at it from the start. Like,
I think.
She's a front woman too with the violin.
We have to just overstress it more than we normally would. We're like, so she like make her louder than me. If I say that, then it becomes actually more equal.
Then you might be equal,
right? But that's kind of wild to have to do. But we're gonna travel with our own sound engineer on the next tour, and that changes everything. And that, you know, he'll get the memo, and that'll be great. Right. And he will know every night. So there's one level of just taking it to a new level.
That'll be a game changer.
In general, I just say for people, audiences that don't trust you right away, I think that's what like our kind of one of our first singles was about. Was it's called Tiptoe, and it's kind of about like tiptoeing around to have to then just like show them with your art. And that's what we like to do, is sneak up on you and hopefully, you know, change your perspective a little bit of what you thought going into it, where you kind of doubted us. So yeah, we like just the music speaking for itself, but unfortunately sometimes you have to do a little more than that.
Right? Yeah, it's really impressive that you guys are like so conscious of this and proactive about it so early in your career. I mean, I know you've been playing music for a long time, but there are artists who are more established and have been like touring for decades and are still trying to figure this out. So like,
cool.
I don't know, kudos to you guys
for
like
you.
Trying to attack this.
Thanks for reading the
beginning.
Article.
Yeah,
no, of course.
It's nice to have a partner in crime. I think we both balance each other
out.
And
yeah,
I can speak for her and she can speak for me, so it doesn't
I can be like, can you be the mean one right now?
Yeah.
And a witness.
Or
if you saw that, like that was crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
You just blame each other.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Rachel was really upset about that. You didn't fix it. I don't want to deal with
her. We definitely do that.
We do. We really do take those roles on.
It helps sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a duo partner in crime.
But then you also have the added kind of, as you said, like a violin just as an instrument up front is something, an added sort of challenge for the for people to say, wrap their brains around. It's like, we have two women.
Yeah,
they're both going to sing and one's playing a violin and they're both like, we're supposed to make that all sound good. Like, I think there's a tendency for like when it's not a conventional setup for there to be just like confusion and like, I'm not going to try to make this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
next article could be called Unconventional Conventionality.
Yeah.
Just playing with those words.
Yeah. Do you find it's better or worse depending on what city you're in?
That's an interesting question.
Or not really.
I don't know.
I want to say...
You were in a band, so you...
I wouldn't want to make that generalization because I feel like you can find, like, the most enlightened or just, like, not even enlightened, just, you know, normal, like, sensible man in any city and, like, anywhere that you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't...
Yeah, it's surprising. Like, in our hometown, we always think it's going to be, like, the most perfect situation because it's our hometown show. We're from the Bay Area and we... San Francisco, we're going to play like the most amazing show. And we had a really hard time, you know, past couple times where we were just like expecting everything. It's always kind of the opposite of what you think. But then again, you really just never know.
You never know.
You go into it really confident.
Yeah.
And it's a shit show.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. It's hard to pin down.
How long have you guys been in Brooklyn for? You still live here?
We just hit our 5-year anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
October 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, we were,
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, 5 years ago, moved to a loft in Brooklyn.
And you together. Were in, one of you was in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were in Boston.
I was in Boston.
I was in Indiana.
Bloomington.
Okay.
Yeah. And we were kind of like courting like a long distance musical relationship. So we're both from Berkeley, California, and we would went to different colleges and we would like have like FaceTime rehearsals, Skype rehearsals. Skype.
I don't think FaceTime was a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't
back
a thing.
Then.
I was just trying not to plug Skype. I'm trying to like not do branding if I'm not getting paid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Skype's not paying me. But Skype, we did video
but
calls.
Skype, if you would like to sponsor this podcast.
We talk about you with every time we tell this story. But we used to do video time rehearsals like from our separate college, like, you know, atmospheres,
practice
and then
rooms,
like kind of keep the song seeds alive from our practice rooms. And we would like, she would fly out to Boston and play a show with me, and I would fly to Bloomington and play a show with her, and we kind of kept the thing alive. And then we'd go home for like winter time and do shows and kept that like alive. And then after we were done with school, we moved here about 5 years ago.
Would you say it sounded similar to what you're doing now, or was it a very different thing happening then?
I mean, I think the foundation has always been the same.
Piano and the violin.
Piano,
yeah.
Violin, vocals.
Right. But so much more like ambient. I think like the pedals that Rachel's using and kind of just the
atmosphere.
The belly of the beast is much fuller, and it was much more of just a, you know, she's a classical violinist. I was just playing piano, my little piano singer-songwriter songs, and we were just kind of figuring out how to do that. I think now it's much more nuanced, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I think also, like, in the beginning, my background is being a classical musician and having music right in front of me, you know, like, I'm told what to play, and so it was a little bit of a challenge for me.
I didn't
want to
play any music in front of me.
Yeah, she was
the opposite.
More of like a, you know.
Come from a jazz, or what was your musical background?
Sort of. I learned, like, Bach, you know, classical stuff when I was younger, and then jazz stuff as well. I had a teacher who just kind of let me pick and choose little pieces, and then I would start like breaking those apart and wanting to like write my own, and then she would let me do that too. So I didn't have as much of the theoretical background as Rachel did and does at all.
But I also think in the beginning it was just my parts were more like compartmentalized, and I was like, this is when I'm playing and this is when I'm resting. Okay, counting. I have two bars rest. Now I play.
Yeah,
you know, like, but now I think I'm much more always just adding texture and a belly, or, you know, I'm just continually playing.
It's freer now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more collaborative.
Much,
you know,
more collaborative.
I used to bring her like a song and she would kind of make parts to that song or vice versa. And now it's like we kind of come into things together and there's something brewing and we build it really on that kind of together. Mm-hmm. Or we build it and then we take it away and somebody does something and we bring it back. And there's that kind of push and pull with the process now, but definitely always evolving.
Yeah. And now you've been living together for 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. So how is that? Living, working, touring, playing, everything.
It's exhausting. It's a lot.
We hate each other.
Yeah, we hate each other.
Secretly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true.
I mean, it's a marriage.
It's a lot.
It's like,
it is a marriage. Yeah.
It's
insanity. And it's not, just to clear up the rumors, it's not. We're not married. But we're in
a marriage and it's not a marriage.
Then partners, because normally partners go off and do their separate things in the day.
Yeah.
And you have to
creatively
share and actually.
We breathe the same air. It's a lot, but I'd say at the same time, it's super important because we're like, when an idea sparks, we're like, rehearsal in five, like, I'll meet you in the living room.
That's amazing.
That's really important. You know, we built out our studio, our loft, to be our home and our studio, and so
that's a dream.
Very cool.
It's great. It's a big space.
Same place that you moved to originally?
Yeah. Yeah. We built, I mean, when we moved in, there wasn't even a shower. Like, it's a very industrial kind of vibe, and we built it out. It's beautiful. We love it. We're really happy with it. We built our rooms and everything, but it was a big space that allowed us to have, like, you know, we have a piano, and we can make noise, and the people in the building are all artists and are really great about it, which is, you know, we have a lot of friends who have to have extra studio spaces, and we're grateful to live in our studio, but it's also, we're living in our studio, so it's a lot.
Not
a lot.
So
if we're not on tour, like, very likely we will not leave the house that day.
Yeah, and
because
right,
everything we need is right in that totally, in that room.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us come up here this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for getting us.
This is your one escape of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. We were like leaving, like, this is what it's like in the morning.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
leave the house.
A little sad.
We had to go to Midtown of all places.
All right.
It's actually really, it's really clean and it smells better. So we were like, this is
that's
cool.
True. And where you live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in Bushwick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I live in Bushwick. Yeah. It's disgusting. Love it. Doesn't smell good.
Yeah.
I did hear you ask who does the cooking, and I would like to proudly say I do the
cooking.
It
is you? Okay.
So that we can't just let that question. Do the
ordering. Yeah. Yeah. Do I do the what?
The ordering.
Yeah. 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 I do the dishes.
That's a skill. Ordering is a skill.
Ordering is a skill. Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on. I know what your roles are now.
Yeah. If we live together, do you cook?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Sorry to presume.
Fighting
that was convenient thinking. Yeah.
No, but I think about this, like, we're great friends. If we lived together, I think it would be a challenge. Like, I think it's not easy to find someone.
Yeah, you're okay.
I think it would. I don't know. Think about that.
You'd be surprised.
Not easy to find a companion.
Yes.
That you can spend as much time as you spend.
Yeah.
And that's all. And then, and.
And I think
and be creative.
That's
true.
Yes.
I always marvel when two people can just have an amazing, easy, creative relationship, let alone spending all that time together. But have you run into issues in creating music?
Yeah, all the time.
But I think our relationship and our closeness of living actually fuels and informs our writing and how we're treating our growth.
I think our music isn't super, it's kind of, there's a lot of tension. It's not super easy listening, maybe, per se. It's a lot of intense stuff going on with crazy violin and just kind of us kind of in a battle in a way. And I think that's it's representative of how we kind of interact, and it's so it's important because it kind of feels, and we like that.
Yeah,
we hopefully like that. But yeah, I'd say it's
like if you're having a fight over doing the dishes, you can hear that in the music.
Yeah.
You're working it out in the violin.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, we have our little things, but I think it's kind of just important to what we're doing. Yeah. And I'd say our friendship, we have a friendship at the core, but now it's so much just what we're doing for Gracie and Rachel that we're not, it's not even a friendship anymore. It's we're almost just, we're one person kind of just making this business. Like you said, you haven't had two people in here, but I feel like sometimes we're just one person in here because we're just representing this thing, this mission that we're trying to do in this project that we're so committed to, that it's just, that's our focus right now. So
what is the mission? How would you describe the mission?
What is the mission?
You have a mission statement?
Mission statement?
Yeah, mission statement.
We need to hone it right now on this podcast.
Yeah, we can workshop it.
Yeah.
We can workshop. Yeah, let's work on this.
Give us the elevator pitch.
I think two women coming together to make music and stand, a big part of I think one of our first songs was based off of a comment that somebody gave us when we were playing a show in Utah, and we hadn't really made too many songs. It was one of our songs that's on the record, but somebody said to us after a show, these two guys came up to us and they were like, "Oh, we really didn't expect to like you." And it was such a beautiful backhanded compliment where I was like, "Oh man, that sucks, but I'm also really glad that that's how you feel,"
because
it was
rewarding.
It was really rewarding, and I think that's where what we're trying to do is to make, to flip things on its head. We don't want to, we're not as overt to say we're here with a message and we're gonna say these things, but we do want to get those kind of empowering messages across, but we like sneaking up on you and we like doing it in more kind of
mysterious
nuanced ways. Hopefully.
And even just musically, as a classical violinist that really did grow up in that organized kind of traditional path, I want to just try and be forward and I don't know, let it be known that you can have that kind of structure and take it in a different direction and make that decision for yourself and have a partner who's going to support that and help you navigate wanting to, bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah. What was your dream or idea for violin? Were you imagining going into the classical world? Or what
I think for a while, it was hard for me to know through high school and college. I obviously was embedded in the system, and I always felt, what if I didn't resolve that seventh to an octave? what if I didn't do that? Would I be accepted? Yeah. And
then I stole her.
I think I was just in the practice room. I was still, and I still am dedicated to practicing and etudes. Like I stand behind the structure and diligence that gave me my facility. But I would say, I think I just started exploring with my little earbuds, you know, like Gracie would send me songs on the piano and be like, what could I do there? And like, I don't know, just adding dissonances where you don't expect them and feeling like you can just run with an idea and not being shy.
Yeah, there's something that like gives
it was
you
scary
so much...
though. It was hard.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, I just feel like it must also be empowering, not only the two women, but there's something about a classical violinist coming into a pop world that I feel like would be inspiring to young kids getting into music and having to figure out what avenue worked for them. And totally. I think that's a really inspiring.
Yeah, I think we're trying to have those kind of conversations. I go back and teach in Berkeley, that's where we're from, at schools, and I would love to bring my electronic pedal board and like show them what I, you know, just I don't know, have the conversation. Like, you sure be involved in orchestra and chamber music, but you can also, you know, get on the computer and do some cool things that can be instrumental in your development as well.
Yeah.
So
when you were starting out, who were sort of models for you to say, okay, this can work, we can make this work, someone will buy this, someone will, you know, take this and run with it? Like, I mean, we had Lindsay Sterling in here. I kind of imagine, like, you know, all of the violin crossover, you know, players, like Black Violin.
Yeah, of course.
I love
them. And, like, the two cello guys.
Okay, right. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess those
examples. Yeah, I'd say that changed for you. I was going to say, like, yeah, you started with, like, what you thought you were going to be doing. And then once you got into more of the electronic elements, there were new people that were, you know, making you realize, okay, this could be my new dream or passion or thing that I can see myself doing. I mean, you can speak to that with violinists more, but I think like right now we're really into Agnes Obel. I don't know if you know her, but she's great. She's from Denmark.
Cinematic dark.
But we like those really cool string piano elements that are really exciting to us.
Early on, I think both of us would have looked to like Jan Tiersen as instrumentalist that was
doing
interesting
pop?
yeah fusing pop, but not so much electronic. I don't know, we're the only ones.
There you go.
No, there's just so many different, I don't know,
so
things
much
that,
now. I mean,
yeah,
I
so
also
much.
Loved your Krayshawn
oh
cover,
cool good
which is just another example of how, like, you know, lyrics and music is lyrics and melody and you know, how you play with something, and it was just cool to see such a completely different take on a rap song.
Yeah. Choral, like, what do you call it? What
16th century polyphony.
16th century polyphony.
There you go.
I was just like, let's do the Krayshawn rap song. And she's like, let's make it a polyphonic. Like, we were on the beach when we wrote that.
Two
it's like very difficult specific harmonies.
You guys have day jobs?
Not anymore.
No. Nice. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she said sometimes we're from Berkeley, so she'll go back and like teach to the school where she used to go to music school.
Nice.
Which is great. But yeah, we're touring so much right now, and it's been really good.
So you're touring with San Fermin?
Yeah. That'll be next week.
They're friends on the podcast.
Definitely.
And Dara's.
Oh, cool.
In particular.
Yeah. My band opened for them, and yeah, we're just friendly.
Oh,
with
sweet.
Who's your band?
Parlor Tricks was the band that I sang with.
Cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it's a great fit for you guys.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. Yeah, we're going to the south, down to the southeast, which we haven't really done much of yet. So that'll be really interesting and new for us.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, touring has been really good. We're just, you know, we have this record out and we're just trying to get it out. It just feels like it just came out, you know, in June.
Yeah.
Feels like yesterday, but cause it's been such a long, you know, process of getting it ready. So we're just excited to keep putting it out there.
Share.
How long was that process, would you say, like, since you moved to New York?
How long was the recording process?
Or just even from
I mean, I'd say, like, collecting the songs, it's been, like, a while for us just, like, evolving in New York since we moved here, but really getting down to it in the past, you know, couple of years. And really, like, we went back and we remixed it and just, like, kind of, you know, getting new elements to represent where we were at. Because it's hard, you know, like, music can be behind you and then you're doing new elements live and you want that to represent you and you want to enjoy touring the album. So that's something we really focused on in the past year or so before releasing it. It was like, let's make this feel really current to us and relevant and keep going back and just making it bigger, and then released it and it's been really good. So
we get to go hang out with Bob Boylan tomorrow.
So. Really?
You're going back?
That's cool.
We're going back to the Tiny Desk. Well, we just shot a Tiny Desk and that's coming out soon. I don't know when this airs, but
yeah.
How was that?
nerve-wracking. Yeah. I don't really. Yeah, we kind of say we both just like don't remember it because it was just such a.
It's such a milestone.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, and it's just no pressure. You're like, I'm just like in this place. You know, it's just you try to be calm, but
all the tastemakers are rushing you
right around. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think I just watched like Steve Martin do one and he was kind of like, who's running NPR right now? And I just realized like, yeah, they all kind of come flocking
in there.
It's so amazing. And you get to see like just even just seeing like right before we played, Bob took us on a little tour of NPR and he showed us down like all of everything that runs. It's like what you imagine like NASA looks like.
Yeah,
like when you're looking at all the like
control center.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God, this is it. This is the public radio. It was really special.
It was awesome.
But yeah, we're going to go do a house concert with him.
Public radio on in our house.
Yeah, all the time.
Do you?
That's great. All the time. We have a radio, and I think
we're really excited that we have a radio in our house.
Yeah,
we use our like
radio.
From our record player. No, yeah, like our record player.
Yep.
Connect. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. No.
Transceptor.
Transmitter. Transceptor. Sure. Yeah. Billboard. Come on. Yeah. What's it called?
Receiver?
Yeah. Receiver. Receiver. Yeah. There you go. That's it. So
stay here one more day.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Bob's been about that. Well, because we're gonna go do a little house concert.
Oh yeah. So that'll be good.
Cool. Awesome. When does tour start?
October 19th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, soon. Have fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Congrats on the record.
Thank you.
It was out in June.
Yeah.
That is very recent.
It feels
new. Oh, it's just out.
It's a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a baby.
It's just that it's very beginning of its life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Cool. All right. Gracie and Rachel.
Yeah.
I feel like I should say it to both of you.
Gracie, Rachel.
Because you're one person. So, yeah.
Rachel.
yeah, Rachel. Thanks for coming on Soul Sisters.
Thank you so much
for having us.
We're so
honored
to be here.